This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This game, five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome to Five on the Floor live edition on the YouTube channel. Also catch it afterwards on the podcast feed. We recommend that you subscribe everywhere so you don't miss any of our content, particularly with the play-in or the playoffs coming up. Today's floor plan, I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 954. I'm kidding. Still 305. You should change it at this point. We know where your heart is, Brady, and it's right here with me in the 954. Anyway, the floor plan we're going to discuss tonight. The Miami Heat get to 41 wins on the season. They win a game that really shouldn't have been in doubt at any point, but was a little bit in the first half. And, of course, they lost to this team the last time, so we don't take anything for granted around here. This was not a 60-point win like against Joe Cronin, but this was a 12-point win. Delon Wright gets his revenge, 119-107 against the Washington Wizards. We'll get to the star of the game, as we always do, or as we call it, the gamer of the night, the play of the night, and also the injury report as we go forward. But I do want to just reflect on the significance of this, because we shouldn't let this pass. And we looked this up before the episode started, and we'll take some of your comments here. And if you hear that on the podcast feed, you know, again, you join us live and you get a chance to ask us questions here. Also, of course, you can join Off the Floor. That's our Discord for $2.99 a month, and you get to ask us questions there all day long. And we're already being told shut up and pod. That's by one of the people who was with us on playback. They're not actually being nasty to us. That's what we said. They just tell us to shut up and pod. That's all we got to do around here. But the significance of this is 41 wins. And we should not look past this because, Greg, the Washington Wizards have been below 500 five of the last 6 years. Sacramento didn't make the playoffs for 15 years. The Knicks went through a tremendous rut of losing seasons. Detroit can't even see a winning season from where they're at, and this has been years. And the Miami Heat now have had only five losing seasons.
Five.
Since Pat Riley took over in 1995. Five. That is, we're now 29 years later. They've had five losing seasons, and this ultimately will be a winning season. I don't think I'm jinxing it too much to say Miami will win at least one of its last eight. This isn't the season everybody wanted. I think a lot of people thought this could be a 50-win year. I said 47. They still are kind of in range of that at this point. They go 6-2 down the stretch. But again, just to be competitive every year, it is significant, isn't it? I mean, and again, this is not carrying water, but it matters.
It does, because at least you know if when you head into seasons, like you saw how listless the Washington Wizards just looked. That entire crowd was out to lunch. Half of it was Heat fans any damn way, and it was barely full. And that's a franchise that can't get it together. And you see that the Heat are, you know, basically the opposite of that. So just, you know, high level, when we kind of zoom out from the game for 5 seconds, it's significant that you can go that long and be that successful, be that competitive, Everyone has to remember the goal here is to compete for championships. To win championships, absolutely, but you want to be able to compete. And the first step to that is being a above 500 team, being a playoff team. The Heat have, you know, been very consistent in that way. And tonight was a night that, you know, I personally love seeing the three-point shooting come back. They shot 39% tonight. So that starts to make me feel like, okay, they're getting ready for playoff time. It's not a great opponent, but I'll take the result all day.
Yeah, and Eric Spoelstra said before the year, we want to be one of those teams. We believe that we're one of those teams. I don't know that they're one of those teams, because when he talks about it in that context, he's not talking about one of those teams that'll finish over 500. He's talking about one of the teams that can compete for a championship. And I do think that, Greg, you hit on it there, because this has gotten, this as Juan Martín, Ladonio says, just left the arena, truly taken over by Heat fans, LOL. And that is kind of the point here. Like, again, you go to Washington, I've covered many games there. That's a Heat home game, as has Orlando been for years, as has Atlanta been for years, as has Brooklyn been for years, and some other franchise. And that is because of the consistent winning. I mean, people don't want to attach themselves to losers. We talk about even in our market, okay, the Marlins have started 0-4. Everybody's given up already. Four games into a 162-game season. The Panthers have made the playoffs four straight years now, which is a tremendous achievement, because five straight years, actually, but four under Zito as the general manager, considering that before Zito, they made it six times in their history, dating all the way back to 1993. So, and again, the Dolphins, we don't even want to talk about the Dolphins. So what the Heat have accomplished is significant, again, even if they haven't played like a contender for most of the season. But let's get into the specifics of this game. Alex, ring it up, because one guy stood above the rest today. We'll talk about him.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
I mean, there's only one choice here, isn't there, Alex? 27 points, 11 of 19 from the floor. That's 6 of 8 from 2, 5 of 11 from 3. We'll get into that a little bit more, I'm sure. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, not a big assist night. I've actually picked this guy as a prop today for change. It worked. It worked out.
Terry.
He's rounded into shape, right, Alex? Terry Rozier?
Absolutely, man. I think he's gotten comfortable over the past little while here, and you've seen these types of games come every now and then. Like, obviously, there was that one versus Cleveland where he hit the two shots to basically win the game and catch the game. And I think just his game is showing out more, like some of that Hornets Terry that we were kind of asking for when he got here, and maybe was deferring a little bit too much for our liking. But he is more than willing to take over in the spots where he needs to. And tonight, man, offensively, easily their best player. Anyways, offensively throughout the night, I thought he just kind of kept them going. And it was a point where Jimmy, I thought, just wasn't doing much throughout the game. Like, he had a nice start to the game, but Terry was the one who just over and over again, when things weren't going right, would just go over there and give you an isolation bucket. And that was part of what you were looking forward to, right? It was like the self-created scoring, the shooting has kind of, you know, come out a little bit more than it did when he first got here. We've already seen the pick and roll stuff with Bam. Like he, and also like with the shooting, like the catch and shoot has gotten better too. He seems a little bit more in rhythm there. And, you know, you're kind of starting to see all the different aspects of his game that you wanted to see. And this happening right before the playoffs, right? Like these types of games versus the Blazers and the Wizards, perfect games to get going, get your confidence up. They have to win these games because of the standings. And honestly, he's been a huge part of it. And like just imagining a world where they didn't, and again, I'm not trying to hate on Kyle here, right? But if they didn't trade Kyle Lowry for Terry Rozier right now, I know Kyle has always stepped up when guys were out, and you know, salute to him for that. But I think it would be really, really tough right now without what Terry's giving you, because there's no Tyler, and they've needed somebody else to step up there. considering that Jimmy has just been so up and down in this regular season. And Bam had a great game too. I thought he was really solid, but Terry was the guy on offense that just kept getting them out of tough situations and keeping them away from an unnecessary clutch game versus the Wizards.
Yeah, almost was an unnecessary clutch game. Brady, you've talked about the types of threes that he's taking now. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when he first came here, it was a lot of the contested pull-up type threes that were kind of mixed in. And I know we talked about it before. I mean, more than the efficiency, more than the points, more than the amount of threes he hit tonight, I think the fact that he took 11 threes matters probably more than anything, because we talked about he had to fix his shot profile. Like, there was too many things that were kind of all over the place where he had to eliminate some of those long twos that were kind of step back, tough long twos. And he's going to shoot a couple of those because that's his game. He's just a rhythm, tough bucket getter. So he's going to take them. But he had to mix in a lot more threes, especially without Tyler. And we've seen him do that consistently. And then this last game against Portland, as Alex mentioned, it was a lot more off the catch. I talked about it before. It was like all six threes of his, he didn't take one single dribble, which is such a different feel than what we saw when he first got here, that he's kind of finding his flow within the offense. And at this part of the season, they're trying to get, you know, they're setting up those spot up threes. They're working him off pin downs. They're working off different spots, using him, you know, fading into the corner at different times. Like, they want to get him those shots because they know Jimmy's usage is about to go up. They know Tyler's going to be returning here eventually. So he's not going to be able to just play this on-ball game all day in this isolation bag. He's going to get into it when they need him to, but it's not going to be the entire game. So his ability to kind of mix it up a little bit and kind of, you know, have the on-ball ability, but also be able to bury kind of some of these spot-ups is kind of the important thing here. And then I think some of the spot-ups, I mean, some of the pull-ups in the mid-range he's been taking over these last like three or four games or so is important, just because remember that first week or two where he was just like not taking those. Like, he was forcing it to Bam, and Bam's kind of looking around like, okay, I have two guys on me because they know you're not shooting. And it gets to a certain point where he just had to take some of those shots so they would start respecting it and start pulling over a little bit more, kind of like what we saw with the Tyler Bam pick and roll. So we're seeing that a little bit more. I think Terry and Bam's connection is kind of growing. And Ethan, we talked about it, you know, on the playback earlier, where we were talking about rotations of the playoffs, where we said, you know, certain mixtures, how do they stagger? I think they're hitting the point where when Tyler returns and you kind of stagger certain guys, Tyler and Jimmy are going to be glued and Terry and Bam are going to be glued more often than not. That's kind of the way I see it. I think they're hitting the point in the season now where Terry and Bam are kind of the guys that are going to want to play off each other. And look, they started running Terry Bam pick and pops. That's the point they're at. Like, they're just trying stuff at this point because Bam's been shooting more. So I think that'll be an interesting thing to see, because they're going to keep Terry and Tyler to let them anchor certain lineups as guards. But I think the interesting part is I think they're going to lean with Bam to Terry more than maybe we originally thought.
See, that's completely opposite, because we always thought in a lot of ways Bam and Tyler were stapled together because of the pick and roll that they were running, and that we'd see a lot of Terry and Jimmy together so that Terry could kind of take some of that burden off of Jimmy. But you may be right about this. But I do think, Greg, that the Terry emergence here does set a chain reaction on some other things, because now that you know it's in there with him and he's willing to show it, I mean – Tyler's usage, I don't think if and when he comes back, I always throw the if in there. It just can't be anywhere near where it was. And it's not a Jimmy thing at this point. It's also a Rozier thing. And I also think, and we've talked about this a lot, but Rozier and Duncan just fit together as a backcourt, I believe. And I know Duncan didn't have a big shooting night. We'll get into him a little bit more. I mean, he was 2 of 7 from three, didn't produce much more. It's just good to see him out there, to be honest, and creating some of the spacing. And again, just being comfortable. Okay, Duncan's back. And I feel like with this team, like, it helps them relax. Okay, well, okay, right. We've got our shooter back. We can run the actions we used to run. Doesn't have to hit 5-6 threes his first game back or do a lot of the things that we've seen him do in terms of his floor game. But, you know, this is trending towards – we're going to have some really interesting conversations when and if Tyler's back, because Rozier has sopped up a lot of that usage. I think they wanted him to do that, and he's done it more efficiently of late than he did earlier. I'm not saying he's better at all of it than Tyler. There's certain things Tyler's better than him and certain things he's better than Tyler, but there is some duplication there. And I do think it changes the equation, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
the fact that we're seeing the Terry Rozier they traded for.
I think that we've now reached the point where Tyler Hero is most likely to come off the bench, and they're going to try to figure it out from there. And I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago. So like, that's a complete change in complexion there. I think it's good for the team. It doesn't mean that he'll have a diminished role or be limited. If he's healthy enough to play, they'll figure out a way to get him involved. I just think it's going to start off the bench. I think Duncan and Terry have solidified themselves as a good offensive unit, at least, and they provide enough aggressive play, enough off-ball movement, and enough shooting around your best players. So to me, that's the way that they're going to go right now, and Tyler will have to figure things out coming off the bench, which isn't easy in the midst of a playoff run. So we say when and if. It's a big if of when Tyler Hero, if he returns.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those games as they're coming up, but there's really three that jump out at you, the schedule. There's Philadelphia, which knows they're getting Embiid back now. They may not lose a lot the rest of the season. Of course, the huge game in Indiana, and also the game against the Knicks on Tuesday night, which Alex Brady and I will be at, which should have a pretty damn good atmosphere, no matter who the Knicks have in the lineup for that one. All right, Alex, let's get to the play of the night. We'll talk off of that and then continue here.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
All right, I'm going to get to a tweet here in a second because I'm not going to say it. The DJ Khaled lookalike has decided to jump in on one of my tweets. Oh, wow. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we do, we got a play of the night. Greg, you were suggesting the Terry 3 with 2 seconds left before the half.
I feel like that was a pretty clutch shot. Alex, you got one?
What about that first quarter one where he had Marvin Bagley touching earth before?
That was beautiful with the change in direction and whatnot. So the theme of the night is Terry Rozier balled out. I think that's that. I'm more interested now you're saying that there's a tweet going around. Let's hear that live.
let's go for it here. So I tweeted during the game, and you guys tell me if you think this was an unreasonable tweet based on the fact that one Butler was scoring and it wasn't the one who's being paid $45 million by the Miami Heat. It was somebody named Jared Butler for the Washington Wizards at the time. So I tweeted out during the game, it's time for the Heat to start caring about this game. They were down at the time, by the way, particularly their star. Does Ernie have, like, is there like a bat signal? It's like a butt signal, right? Like, we're going to call it that, like the Butler signal. I probably shouldn't have framed it that way, but it's like a little light that goes above his apartment or above his courtside seat, where he quote tweeted me with the emojis of the four laughs. Gotta love the flip flopping, which, by the way, this is funny coming from this particular account, considering like, should I do an accounting of all the flip-flopping that goes on from this particular count? Played the exact same way last game, only shot the ball four times, won by 60, not a single tweet or mention. So first thing, I didn't even say their star, but I guess he's assuming who I'm speaking of there. It's fairly clear. The fact that we can identify who the star is means that, yes, that's the guy who needs to get going. Like, I didn't need to say Jimmy Butler, I say the star, and all of a sudden, like I said, the butt signal goes up, and all of a sudden, Ernie has to jump in on this. I can tell you that others kind of jumped. Not that I need defending here, because I don't think there's any way to counter this. Their star needs to play better in some of these games. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm, again, as I said on Playback, I'm not disparaging anything Jimmy Butler's done here for the past 4 years, lifting this franchise back up from the Whiteside dark ages. Okay, I get it. He's been tremendous. He basically, and I did say, S. Dot saying here in the chat that I said Jimmy would end up with 17 points. What did he end up with? 17 points. Okay. I'm not undermining anything that Jimmy has done. I'm just saying, and I've said it over and over, I'm going to keep saying it. Like, there's been too many games he sleepwalked this year. That's all. Like I don't have a problem with some of the, with the games he's missed, but when he plays, you want to see your best player play with energy because this team feeds off of his energy, and it hasn't happened often enough. And by the way, I'm not the only one who believes this. Okay.
Nope.
People inside the building believe that at this point. And if he turns it on in the playoffs, all will be, not that it has to be forgiven, but all will be forgotten.
Correct.
But right now, okay. That's where we're at. And 21 Alex, who went after me on the playback on this, who may actually be Ernie, said, hasn't Jimmy earned that? He has. He's also earning a lot of money to lead this team. They look to him for energy. When he doesn't bring it, they don't bring it. That's the consistent pattern this year. And whether it's Washington or Milwaukee or Boston, we've talked about it after many games this year that we get out of the game and we kind of wonder what the hell happened. Where was Jimmy's head at tonight? And for about the first half, am I wrong about this? Greg, was he good in the first half?
Not particularly engaged. But I think that he did show signs in the second half that made it feel like he cared a little bit more. Still, no steals. That's my metric that I always watch. I'm going to use a counting stat and get real simple about it. But still, there were moments there at the end where he helped put him away. There were some clutch plays. He made some good passes. But it isn't the Jimmy Butler game of, you know, you just, there's the sound bites floating around about how do I become the greatest player in the world all of a sudden, like to Chris Haynes and stuff. Like, you have to understand what comes with that is some noise. And so this is the noise that comes with it. Doesn't mean he's not going to turn it on. I think that he's highly capable of turning it on. And like,
we're losing one by one here tonight. We've already lost Brady. Okay. Alex, jump in. Was my tweet? Yes.
It's apparently Ernie has hacked us or somebody. They know a hacker over there in Jimmy's camp because I don't know what's going on. I'm assuming I'm next, but until I get hacked and out of here, I agree with you. Like, I just think it's hard for them to sustain, you know, sustain throughout a game without Jimmy giving you those efforts in like a more stable way. I feel like he gives you spurts in the regular season. A lot of times you'll see in the first quarter, he comes out, you know, looking pretty good. And then after those first few minutes, you just kind of don't hear from him again. I feel like tonight was kind of similar. I thought he started the game decently and didn't really play that well again until later in the second half. And, you know, it was very much needed, right, and very much appreciated. But, yeah, that's just the case. And honestly, all I could think about after you started talking about how, you know, Ernie said that you're flip-flopping, and it just made me laugh. And I'm, like, picturing now, like, a Photoshop with the both of you wearing, like, flip-flops and –
Mike just went. He got you too.
I don't know what's going on today, man.
They got Brady's camera. They got Greg frozen up. They got your mic. We're going to take a brief break here. Actually, we planned this beforehand. And then we'll come back after it with the injury report.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's dial it up, the latest injury report, other than my bruised ego.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
All right, let's get to the injury report here. Kevin Love made the trip, did not play again. I believe Ira asked. We had our guy Pablo up there in Washington. We appreciate him covering for us again. FIU faithful down here from Miami up there in D.C. So covered another game for us. You can check out his work. I've been tweeting it out. But he did get a chance to ask Bo a couple questions. But he told me that Ira asked specifically about Love. And so we'll get the answer on that. But it doesn't appear that there's an injury keeping him out. I just think Spo is just he's rolling with Thomas Bryant in these games that he can, getting Kevin back acclimated to everything, and then going to have Kevin available for this final push. Duncan didn't appear to be any issues tonight, so that's a positive. Tyler, really no update. I would think that a home game against the Knicks would probably be a tough spot to throw him back into, but who knows? The Heat don't usually make decisions based on the opponent when it comes to this stuff. It's when the guy is ready. So who knows? We might see Tyler on the floor on Tuesday night. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm also not ruling it out as Brady Camber tries to pop in here. Brady, have a good night. Relax. Happy Easter. You're good. We got your Rozier comments. Just go fight with Ernie on the timeline. But it's Tyler, so we could see him Tuesday. Other than that, Caleb Martin, this latest injury, what is this now? Is this a foot again? He was nursing
it in the last game. And I think if this was a playoff game, he would play. So no, I don't think anyone should be concerned.
All right. But in the meantime, by the way, Haywood Highsmith played well again tonight. I think we should note that. Only 2 of 6 for 3, but 29 minutes, 10 points, 4 rebounds, and is kind of settling into that role. All right, let's take a couple of the comments here from some folks before we get out of here. Let's see if anybody has Jimmy's pacing himself by playing in moments. Perhaps, Tony, I understand the overall philosophy of him getting ready for the playoffs. I haven't flip-flopped on that. What I've said this year is there are times that it seems like his team needs him to hit the accelerator and he hasn't. And they're not in a position right now with 8 games left where he can wait. He just can't. And there are different rules that apply to your superstar that has applied to others on the team. We're not focusing on Caleb's energy at every moment, even though he always tends to bring that. He doesn't bring the skill level that Jimmy brings. But with Jimmy, it is about energy. We see it mostly on defense. And like I said, there are some, like his buddy, who are obsessed with shot attempts. I'm not obsessed with shot attempts. We talk about the other stats. If he wants to listen to us here, he'll hear it. It's the steals. It's the general the deflections, the activity on defense, the free throw attempts. That's the stuff that I think they feed off of. It's not necessarily, we're not asking him to chuck 25 shots but he just wants to be contrary and change his mind every day and then call me a flip-flopper. S.Warrior comes in here. He had an earpiece streaming playback. FYI, Jimmy will turn it on. He doesn't need to in these types of games. Perhaps he didn't need to against Portland. He was a plus 42 in 25 minutes. We did acknowledge that at the time. Apparently that got missed. And then 21 Alex is asking, don't you think Jimmy is deflated that Tyler is not available? I can't get in guys' heads on that. Again, we've had a discussion. Greg, we've talked about it. There was a feeling there was going to be a high-level change this offseason. It didn't happen. How that has affected somebody the entire year, we won't find out until later. Right. So I don't know. That's a question we get asked a lot. I don't know. A lot of people would like Tyler to be available. Tyler would like to be available.
Yep. The Heat definitely would like him to be available right about now.
Right, exactly. So that's where we're at. And this one comes in from Lauren Lewis. It's not the big picture right now, but doesn't Spo need a lot more 50-win seasons? I really don't. He's not going to get one, obviously, this year. The most they can win is 49. Their over-under before the year, by the way, was 44.5. I had him at 47. They probably are going to clear the 44.5. I would hope so at this stage now that they've got the 41. They just need to go 4-4. Brady's asking, we're answering questions. How do you fix a camera? I'm not the one to ask about that. I'm not the one to ask. I'm the last one to ask. Flip it around. Apparently I'm a flip-flopper. So just flip the camera around and that'll work. He's not going to win 50 this year. I don't think he cares about that or Coach of the Year awards at all. It doesn't matter. His legacy is set. His salary is set. It's not about winning 50 games for him anymore. Sometimes I wish it was, because these regular seasons, if they drove them a little harder during the regular season, not quite Pat-like, but a little bit more, I think we'd have more enjoyable podcasts, but it's just not what they care about. Right. Alex, you want to close tonight? You can close. Go ahead.
Sure. Why not? Look, honestly, I thought today, there was nothing inspiring from today other than Terry just kind of playing his game and looking like street ball Terry out there at times. He's had a nice little layer of like just offensive chaos in a good way that I've appreciated. And like I said before, they've really much like very much needed, especially without Tyler and the other guys that they've missed. But, I do think when it comes to hitting 50% of your mid-range shots, hitting about 40% of your threes, like, that's not the type of stuff that the Heat typically do. I mean, the mid-range stuff has been kind of up and down this season. It was better last season. So it was good to see them just having a day where, like, their jumpers are falling down. It's not like the Wizards provide a ton of, you know, defensive resistance. But them going out there and taking care of business, like you said earlier, you can't take that stuff for granted. Because, like, I was talking about it with Brady before the Blazers game. And I was so wrong. So I'll say it on here too. Like, I was worried that they were going to lose that Blazers game. Not because I thought the Blazers were good or anything, because God, that team without the guys that they were missing that night, probably the worst team I've seen all season. But yeah, based on the Heat's track record at times, that they lose one of those two games you're supposed to win, probably the PTSD from the last Wizards game. But it's good to see them take care of business here, because, you know, we talked earlier about how they're scheduled to end the season. It's kind of easy coming down. Most of that stuff is out of the way. Like, now the only, like, quote-unquote easy games you might have left are the two Raptors games to end the season and the Hawks, who are still playing without Trae Young. Other than that, like, you've got the Knicks coming up, the Sixers without Embiid still, but that's a competitive team. You've got the Mavs coming up. I feel like I'm missing another one here. But regardless, like, and the Pacers. I don't know if I said that. But, like, you've gotten most of those easier games out of the way, and now it's really, like, crunch time. Because I think, like, I know they don't care about seeding, but are they really going to, like, not care about it and put themselves in a position where they have to go through the most rigorous run just to get back to the finals? It's like, what do you do this all season for, this maintenance plan, if you're going to go into this and be like, oh, well, let's take the toughest road possible? It's like, is that the best plan? So, I mean, if they can win some of these big games and put themselves in a position to play, frankly, a worse team in the first round, still good teams, right? Whether it's New York or Cleveland, like, they've got to do it. They've got to care.
The Indiana game is the tell for me. If they care about this, they'll play with high energy, and Spoelstra will shorten the rotation and he'll play the guys.
I'm expecting another playoff rehearsal against the Knicks on Tuesday, by the way.
So we'll see. But every time, again, every time we talk about, okay, Jimmy's going to bring it, that's not the game he does. So I'm curious to see what happens on Tuesday. I will just say here, I know I said I'd give you the last word, but I'm looking under my tweet, which I tweeted, by the way, with the Heat losing this game. And I'll tell you, the fans agree with me at that point. I just, is Butler playing or what? Was time for that about 6 weeks ago? I can't say it enough. If Jimmy doesn't morph into playoff Jimmy when the time comes, his regular season will come off way worse. I mean, that's, you know, I think, honestly, I think the fans are further on this than I am. Okay. I think they are. They just want to see, they know what he can be. They just want to see him be 85% of that most of the time. Nobody's telling him to take 25 shots. All right. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Alex. Thanks to Brady.
Discord.
Somewhere in the netherworld. Well, what was I supposed to say? Am I supposed to close with? Oh, Discord. Off the floor. $2.99 per month. Link right here in the. I did that already. No, I didn't. In the description on the top of the Twitter feed and all that good stuff. Thanks to everybody who was with us all night. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Playback tomorrow. Have a good one.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.